Today we're looking at Psalm 124. Let me read it. A song of ascents of David. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the floods would have engulfed us. The torrents would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from a fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Some commentaries say that the Song of Ascent is a song that they would sing as they would go to Jerusalem, to the temple. According to the law, the Israelites were supposed to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. And so this was a journey by foot, and you're going from Nazareth by foot, for example, or donkey. It would take about a week to get there. So this song seems to be rather short to sing on the journey to Jerusalem. But maybe it was made to sing as they climbed the steps to the temple. For those of you who have not had the pleasure of traveling to Israel, Jerusalem is on a hill about 2,500 feet above sea level. Now, compared that with Nazareth, which is about 1,000 to 1,500 feet lower, most of the surrounding area around Jerusalem is downhill. So, ascent, we go up to Jerusalem because it's uphill. Uphill physically, and uphill spiritually. And Nazareth is about 60 miles north of Jerusalem in hilly country. Let me start by having a confession. I fussed with this. I didn't like it. I complained to Nancy. The whole thing of if God had not been on our side, it reminded me of elementary school when they picked teams for baseball or kickball or whatever they picked teams for, and you were on the team captain's side. And I thought, are we the team captain and we pick God to be on our side and he's going to do whatever we tell him to do? Yeah. God answers prayer. Absolutely. But God is not a genie in our bottle that we can rub the bottle and get any wish we want granted. I don't believe God is with us to make our life comfortable and to fulfill our every wish. In Joshua 5:13-14, it says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and said, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. Then Joshua fell down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? That always seems strange to me. Israel was God's chosen people. But when he asked, are you for us or for them? He said, neither, I'm for God. So perhaps the meaning of this phrase is more along the lines, if God had not come to our rescue. But be that as it may, if the Lord had not been on our side, because God has been and can be with us whenever, wherever we go. So let's do a little call and response this morning. Y'all have to respond loudly since there's not that many of you. When I say, let Israel say, y'all respond with, if the Lord had not been on our side. So let's try it. Let Israel say,
if the Lord had not been on our side.
Cool. All right. The Bible is a book of salvation. One of its dominant themes seems to be deliverance by God. The theologian from the last century, Howard Thurman, frequently commented in his writings and sermons that he had heard few sermons on what the religion of Jesus had to say to those whose backs are against the wall. So I'll try to go there today a little bit. The God of the Bible is the God of deliverance. He rescues his servants from a great variety of perils. From their own sin, yes, but also from foreign armies and menacing giants, from conspiracies and search parties of Jezebel, from wild beasts, to tribulation on the island of Patmos. God's deliverance started in this world with the flood of Genesis 6 through 9. Let Israel say, okay, Noah and his family were spared. The people of Israel, or the nation of Israel, was threatened almost before it got started. In Genesis 20, verses 1 through 16, there's a famine in the land, and Abram travels to Gerar, which is ruled by King Abimelech. Because Sarah, who is 90-ish, I think, I wasn't there, but that's what people tell me, because Sarah is very beautiful, Abraham tells her, let's say that you're my sister, so they won't kill me and take you for a wife. I don't know that we heard that recorded in scriptures all of that discussion. I think if I said that to my wife, well, she couldn't scalp me. I don't have that much hair. This sister stories leads to King Abimelech taking Sarah into his harem. And I just wonder what Abraham was thinking and feeling when he watched them take his wife into another man's harem. But let Israel say, God intervened before Abimelech touched Sarah. Some of our trials and hard times are our own fault. But God does not abandon us because of our foolishness. God's salvation continues with a 100-year-old man and a woman who is wrinkled and well past the childbearing age, even though God had promised them a child. Let Israel say,
God had
not been on our side. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 16, Sarah gets pregnant and has a baby boy. God delivers Jacob from a famine that went all the way from Cana to Egypt. And he did this by sending Joseph, his servant, into Egypt as a slave. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. He should have been an MBA, but he was a slave. They ended up in prison, and then he ended up second in the command of the kingdom. And then God had to deliver Israel from Egypt. They ended up with the Red Sea in front of them, and the Egyptian army behind them. And there was nowhere to run and no place to hide. Let Israel say, then God delivered them by opening a path through the Red Sea. Do you have a feeling from these stories that God is never late, but he misses a lot of opportunities to be early? This is important to remember, and I repeat it to myself often when I feel like God is late. In Joshua 10, you remember the Gibeonites? They tricked Israel and made a treaty with Israel. So they became servants of Israel, hewers of wood and carriers of water. Well, five kings from the land all got together and decided to attack Israel by attacking Gibeons. Joshua marched from Gilead with his entire army and his best fighting men. All night long they marched. And after marching all night, we have an army who was tired going up against an army who was well rested. But the Lord threw the five kings into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road up to Beth Horon, and they fled before Israel on the road. And the Lord hurled great hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hailstones than from the sword of Israel. This is Pastor Nancy's one of her favorite stories. She likes to cheer for God. And it goes on. David, a man after God's own heart, had to be delivered from a spear-throwing king. He chased David around the countryside to kill him. Then in 1 Samuel 27, 1 through 4, David decided to take refuge with the Philistines. Now, y'all remember the story of David and Goliath. Goliath was the Philistine champion, the hero. And Goliath was from a town called Gath. And I'm sure everybody in town knew Goliath. David decides to go to Gath to escape from Israel and the king that wanted to throw a spear at him. Why he picked Gath, I don't know. I don't know if he thought these guys would take me in because I killed their champion. But he had to be delivered from the Philistines. Let Israel say, good. Then in 1 Samuel 33 through 7, David and his men made their home in Ziklag. And they went out to fight a battle with the Philistines. The Philistines said, no, we're going against Israel, and you're Israel, and go home. So David and his men went back to Ziklag, but while they were gone, the Amalekites raided the Negev and Ziklag, and they attacked Ziklag and burned it, and took all the women and all the children as prisoners. So when David and his men got back, they found nothing but a burnt city. So David and his men wept aloud until they were too tired to weep anymore. And David got greatly distressed because his men were talking about stoning him. But he took strength in God. And God told him to follow after the Amalekites and attack them. If God had not been for us, David pursued the Amalekites with 600 men. It proved to be exhausting. 200 of them were unable to continue and stopped at the Wadi of Besor. David and the 400 remaining in his force ultimately found the Amalekites and rescued all of the captives, including his two wives, as well as the booty taken by the Amalekites, and this became David's spoil. Most of all, in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, it tells that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and put us into the kingdom of his Son. He's the God who saves us, as we just sang. For the servants of the saving God seem to be forever in danger. And Daniel, in danger from the fiery furnace. Let Israel say, in Daniel from a den of lions and multitudes of trials. Most of us are old enough to face some of these times, whether from financial issues or sickness or Atlanta traffic or other dangers of life. We can remember times, if God had not been with us, it is not just God being with us corporately, but it's God being with us personally also. Now, I'll admit some of my trials were from my own making. I usually don't say that I want what I deserve, because I know what I deserve. And God has given me so much better than I deserve. The Psalms talk about escaping from a snare. I've been blinded, and sometimes not so blindly, wandered into many snares. But God has been with me and protected me. In the Army, I was once in a position where they told me to take a place here. If the bad guys came over the hill, our job was to slow them down and die in place. I had three sons, and those of you who have raised boys understand a little bit of what that entails, since they seem to feel like they're invincible and therefore get into a lot of tricky places. I was in a hospital in a coma. I had a dream. This one doctor that I had known at the hospital and worked with came into my room in this dream and said, "You're really in bad shape. You're not going to make it. You might as well give up now." I didn't know it because I was in a coma, but this was the doctor who I had been assigned to when my internal organs began to fail. In the dream, a second doctor came into my room that I'd also worked with, and he said, if I had something to live for, that I should fight to live. And this would be the hardest fight I'd ever had, but I should try. Nancy had remembered a conversation that I had had with her before and said that if I ever needed a surgeon, I wanted this one particular surgeon and not the other surgeon, not the surgeon that I was assigned initially, but the other one who in my dream had come to my room. So Nancy remembered the conversation and got my surgeons changed. And the new surgeon had me in the operating room the next morning, and it probably saved my life. I'm sure many of you have similar stories of when you were in desperate need of the help from God, because God was the only one that could rescue you. Let Israel say, it's something about God exercising his control over life. He could control the situation. Yes. Why does he wait until we have to be rescued? All I know is, I don't know. There's a hidden side to this psalm. It talks about God's salvation, God's rescue. But with the salvation, there's times when our back's against the wall and we see no way out. Some of us today may be standing with our back against the wall, and we might be wondering if God is with us. The singer Jelly Roll has a song that I heard. I usually don't quote singers, but I will this time. And the song is, I Am Not Okay. It says, I am not okay, I'm barely getting by. I'm losing track of days, I'm losing sleep at night. I'm not okay, I'm hanging on the rails. So if I say I'm fine, just know that I've learned to hide it well. I know I can't be the only one who's holding on for dear life. But I know God knows when it's all said and done, I'm not okay, but it's going to be all right. It's not okay, but we're all going to be all right. I know one day we'll see the other side. The pain will wash away in a holy water tide, and we're all going to be all right. I'm not okay. And it's all right. If our back is against the wall, God is still the deliverer. It's important to note that God does not say that God will keep the enemy, the flood, the wild beast, and the trials from us. As Christians, we will not live a life of ease. And if you're going through it now, I want to confirm to you that God has been with you and will be with you. We'll all walk through the valley of the shadow of death, literally or figuratively. And God will be with us. His rod and his staff will comfort us, no matter. If we're in the valley because of our own foolishness, or if we're there because of circumstances that we couldn't control, God will be with us. Hebrews 11 talks about the heroes of faith. And most of us have heard sermons on Hebrews 11, but there's a second half to it. Starting with verse 36, it says, some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated, and the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in desert and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. They did not receive in this world the reward of their faith. But we know that they received the reward of their faith. I'm going to quote another poem. Jared Anderson wrote a poem about it. It says, I'm not okay today. So in the absence of okay, what else can I be? I can be gentle. I can be unashamed. I can turn my pain into connection. I can be a student of stillness. I can be awake to nature. I can sharpen my sympathy against the stone of discomfort. I'm not okay, but I am many worthy things. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God who sees us and delivers us. We depend on you to guide us and deliver us. Give us patience and faith when we are threatened. Help us to depend on you when things get hard for us. Help us to praise you in all circumstances of life because you are worthy of praise. Amen.